under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Good morning. It's Izzy Lyman. We are beginning the third hour of the show. You're listening to WCHY 97.7 FM Sheboygan. And thank you for sticking with us if you've been listening. I think it's been a super great show with great guests. And we have another one of those great guests, Mr. Wid Lyman. Good morning.
Good morning, Izzy. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. Likewise. So there's a lot I want to talk to you about, but let's start with you also went to Mexico this weekend, and this was your third trip across the border into Mexico, correct?
Yes, we've been covering the border situation for years now, and I've made three trips, one to Acuña, which is about an hour north of Piedras Negras, and I've made two trips to Piedras at this point.
And also, just because our listeners might be interested, is you're not a reporter media guy by trade. You're actually a physical therapist, but you've certainly adapted very well to this world. You've got this sort of Clark Kent Superman thing going. But anyways, and kudos to you for that. But what was different about this trip than the other two trips?
I'm not sure about the Clark Kent analogy, but thank you very much. I think maybe Clark Kent would be more of the media part, and then I have another life too. But you can learn so many things in this day and age. So I'm very happy to be a part of the organization and to get out there. You know, this latest trip was unique in that the situation in Piedras and Eagle Pass, which is on our southern border, is slower than usual, which is somewhat normal for this time of year. However, we're seeing an incredibly slow amount of crossings in that area. So that part was pretty unique. Usually you show up to the border and you can just see folks crossing pretty much all day, every day. But this time was definitely a little slower. We did see about 40 crossings or so, but this one was definitely slower.
Right. And this was the first time the BorderHawk.news team actually, it was a large group of you. You've actually done this alone and you've met up with I call the culture Sherpas. But this time you had a larger team from the U.S. than has been had at all.
We did have a good sized team. Yeah, we had security detail. We had people navigating. We had people doing reports. So it was certainly great to have more bodies on the ground. But you certainly draw a lot of attention, you know, everywhere we stop. The Mexican army would walk over and ask what we were doing. So it was a big group, but certainly worthwhile.
Well, that's okay. And you were forthright and you have the translators, and I think that's all really good. Let me just go to the macro question with you real fast before we get too deep in all this. How do we get more people to be border hawks? How do we get the listeners of the show to engage and be border hawks?
That's a really good question. You know, I think the first thing is the people listening to the show right now are ahead of the game. You know, you're caring about the situation. You're caring about Michigan politics and world politics. And that's a a first step. And then the second part would be to just get involved as far as paying attention to the reports that we're putting out. You know, we're kind of a nonprofit small organization. So if anyone's ever interested in making small donations, that keeps the mission going for sure. And then just exposure, you know, sharing this with your family and friends, putting it out there, doing as much as you can. I mean, the more eyes that can get on our reports, the better in terms of knowledge and in terms of moving the mission forwards.
That's all very practical and easy to do tips. And we really do need more of the American public engaged. But however, I've been extremely surprised to see how this issue is polling. Number one issue of concern for American voters, be it a Gallup poll or a Fox News poll, it's at the very top, which is amazing to me. I've never seen anything like that.
Right. You've been working in this space for decades now, right? And to finally see the American people saying, hey, this is either number one or number two on my mind has got to be super encouraging. And it really should be number one or number two. You know, the economy is extremely important. Our rights, our two-way mm-hmm. rights are extremely
yep.
important.
Yep.
However, if the whole situation changes, then we won't have the country that we thought we had.
Excellent. And we'll be back after the break with Whit Lyman.
Shut the door, close the border, build that wall. It is time for a strong senator to help close the border. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Biden's open door policy has caused this massive refugee crisis that endangers our country, increases drug trafficking, and is costing taxpayers billions of dollars. Check out my plan at DocSherry2024.com. I'm not a recycled politician. I will pull off the Band-Aid and cure this problem. Together, we can stop illegal immigration. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Presque Isle Electric and Gas Co-op has powered Northeast Michigan for more than 85 years. Now we're connecting it to the rest of the world through our new fiber network. Get ready for the PIE&G Connect broadband difference. The fastest speeds in Northeast Michigan, unlimited access, and exceptional reliability. Packages start at $54.95 per month with autopay. There's internet, and then there's PIE&G Connect. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Hey Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife Jamie in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS free, mineral rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH and veteran owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Potomac.
Yes, I knew it all along. I'd have to come back home. Cause it's living on.
Good morning. It's Izzy Lyman, and you are listening to Your Defending Father Show. We have a text line, 231-758-7707, and we are speaking with Whit Lyman, who does moonlight reporting, we're going to call it that, for BorderHawk.news and just returned from a trip to Mexico. Good morning again.
Good morning again. Moonlight reporting is definitely a fun way to look at it, for sure.
Right, because not just have you been to Mexico, you've covered numerous what we call Pally rallies too in the last few months. You've been to a number of those in Washington, D.C., which is a sort of another look at immigration and what happens when people don't necessarily assimilate, shall we say, right?
That's a good way to look at it. Border adjacent would be how I would look at it. But yeah, I've covered about 15 of the pro-Palestinian rallies all over the area, mostly in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and then even down to the White House several times.
For sure. And you've seen some of the front lines of that. And it, honestly, some of those images have been very troubling to many of us out here in the heartland who say, what's the allegiance of these folks? Is it to the U.S. and or is it to another country with terrorists who run it type thing, right? Anyway, back to your trip to Mexico. And Dan told us a little bit about your experience at the shelter, at the homeless shelter. What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, so I think Dan covered this, but there's one migrant shelter run by some nuns and volunteers in Piedras Negras in Mexico. And pretty much all of the migrants that make it to the crossing at Eagle Pass go through this shelter. They spend about 1 or 2 days there, get recharged, get some information, charge technology, and then kind of move forwards. You know, my takeaway is, considering that Piedras Negras kind of inherits some of the poorest migrants that cross, you know, these aren't the people with nice luggage that are kind of just showing up at the border, say in Arizona. These are really, really poor people that have walked many miles through the Darien, taking trains and buses to kind of get to this place. And you know, just the humanitarian sadness of this entire disaster of our southern border / migration issue. I mean, just really poor people laying everywhere on the ground and drying out boots and, you know, kind of hoping for a few bucks to get a donut, you know, just the sadness of the situation and what has happened in terms of the whole ordeal to get this far.
And it is an ordeal. And these people are enablers to a certain extent, because we can't expect these poor people to know our immigration laws or understand rule of law or all of that if they're being encouraged by what they might see as authority figures.
They are being encouraged. And again, we can look at this border disaster from many different angles, but this is an assimilation issue. You know, people come across and then they're hoping for some sort of economic relief, whether that be in the form of a handout or, you know, getting a job. I mean, you and I spent time in the Crone Detention Facility down in Miami and looking at some of these migrants. I mean, they just come over and they start working at roofing jobs or other jobs, making very little bit of money, living in a home with multiple people, opening a bigger door to other, you know, criminal issues. And it's just sad, top to bottom, through and through.
Yes, some of these people are definitely the poorest of the poor in the United States. And, you know, we were at that detention center. We've seen some of these people in Brownsville. We talked to them. I've interviewed street peddlers in Miami who are making a living diving literally into traffic to sell oranges and grapefruits. And it is crazy. To some extent, we could say we are bringing the poverty here on a large scale.
We are. I mean, millions and millions of these people are crossing. There was a report yesterday that there were 1,200 known gotaways just yesterday, just at one time. And those are people that aren't even being counted. So millions of these people are coming, and, you know, do we have the infrastructure? Do we have the societal room for them in some ways? And, you know, we can certainly debate that part of it. But yes, millions of these people are coming across the border.
So although you did not see a lot of migrant crossings per se, as it's usually at Eagle Pass this one time, there's no reason for us to think there's a serious lull, correct?
There is a lull in this particular area, partly due to the U.S. involvement and mostly due to the Mexican involvement. But in terms of an overall lull, there's usually a lull in February. That's a pretty standard kind of process. You know, last year they had 156,000 encounters, and this year we're probably looking at a similar number, maybe slightly higher. But January, February are usually slower. So there is a lull just based on timing. But you're still looking at over 7,000 crossings per day across the entire border. And then there's the spring surge, which will certainly pick up come March or April. So There's a bit of a lull in the area for several reasons, but overall a lull, but certainly no lull in the overall number.
Did you watch the State of the Union address by any chance? I know that's probably when you were in Mexico, actually, but did you?
We had just made it back into Texas, and we did catch about half of it, you know, as much as one can possibly watch.
Right. Now, did you catch the immigration section at all?
I caught the part where he called Lincoln Riley's murderer or alleged murderer illegal. I did see that section.
Right. So I don't know. You probably saw the aftermath of that. And I'm wondering what you think of that, the reaction from the Democrats not to the murder of this beautiful young woman, but to the improper use of the word illegal.
Right, which isn't improper at all.
And exactly.
President Biden has since backtracked on that. You know, it's astonishing that we're spending so much time talking about what to call the alleged murderer rather than spending more time on how did this happen? What is going on? Is this going to happen again? You know, how do we prevent this in the future? The politics of the naming is really shocking that people are spending time on that part because the story itself is horrific.
Yes, absolutely. And I call him Emperor Palpatine for a reason, right? But that was an odd moment for Emperor Palpatine, I would say, a very memorable moment in many odd ways. But again, it's exposing these radical Democrats, their lack of compassion, and their obsessing over words that don't really mean anything in this.
Yes, yeah, the mask kind of fell off of the emperor there for a moment. But, you know, if people recall, President Biden and President Obama used to talk like this. They used to say that we can't have this many people crossing. We can't have this issue going on. And they've changed their rhetoric in the last few years. But, you know, they used to talk like this. So maybe President Biden was showing some true colors.
Exactly. And President Clinton, too, was right in there. They were all, you know, sounding the alarm back in the day when it wasn't even as bad as it is now. But anyway, so what's next for you? Because you're going to continue this journey reporting right now. So tell us what you're going to do next.
Yeah, so recharging the batteries a little bit here in Texas, and then I'll be heading to El Paso for about 2.5 days. They have a slightly higher traffic, and then heading into the Tucson sector and then the Arizona areas. Meeting up with you in Phoenix, so we will take a look at some things and hopefully going to a ranch, checking out a trial of the rancher down in southern Arizona. So we've got about 2 more weeks of border coverage. You know, certainly stay tuned. We have a lot of exclusive reports coming out.
Yes, and actually I'm hoping to visit the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument, which I think we've discussed this before. This is where Chris Egley lost his life in the line of duty. And Chris Egley is actually from Cadillac, Michigan. And he was a young man in his 20s when this happened, chasing Mexican cartel members. And he was a stellar young man. He's an Eagle Scout, valedictorian, serving his country. And what a tragic death. So I do look forward to going there and seeing in the way that he's been honored at this monument.
And, you know, that speaks to just the environment that a lot of these folks are working in to kind of sort of protect our border at times. You know, they're in austere environments. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They're trying to wrangle, you know, smugglers. And it's just a brutal, brutal environment and a horrible story for that young man.
Yes. And over the years, I've actually corresponded with Chris's mom, Bonnie, and she's a jewel, actually. But she and her husband have tried repeatedly over the years, too, to bring attention to this issue of the victims of illegal immigration and how tragic it is for our country. There should be, again, as I said earlier, zero victims, zero.
Zero victims. And the victims are wide ranging, right? You have law enforcement, you have the ranchers on the border, you have the border towns. But at this point, I would say everyone is a victim in some capacity, whether it be monetarily or directly impacted.
What do you think we can do? What do you think we can do as a nation to get our government paying attention to this? Is there anything we can do?
There is. I think November will be a big, big day for our country, election day in November. And I think what everyone can do is, you know, when you look at who you're supposed to vote for, or who you can vote for moving forwards, you know, just pick a couple issues. You don't have to pick 25 different reasons to vote for someone. Pick two and see how they stand. And especially on this issue, which we care about a lot, you know, see where they're at about immigration. Are they going to close the border at the federal level? Are they going to close the border at the state level? And Michigan also has a border. So you know, find a couple of key issues and really focus and dial in on it, and then just get the word out. Tell everyone that you can. You know, if everyone tells everyone, that's everyone. So the idea moving forward to just be very active and be very aware.
Yeah, I honestly don't see anything else we can possibly do but just to get this administration out of there and get, you know, and get some personnel that understand the danger and the fact that we don't have a country with borders right now. I mean, I don't know anything else we could possibly do in addition to getting some good judges.
Yeah, and then getting good judges means you have to have a good administration, right? The appointees. We've seen the Supreme Court sort of rule in the favor of former President Trump and sort of some of the Republican ideals. So getting good judges moving forward is going to be massive. But, you know, do the one thing you can do, you know, take care of your families, take care of yourself as much as you can, and then just vote and show no tolerance for these politicians that don't care about our border.
Right. And the other piece is I've been very encouraged to see Latino community and the Black community also raising their voices and saying, yeah, enough is enough. This isn't right. You know, even people that were very liberal on some of these issues are also saying, no, this is outrageous.
You know, one thing that you told me many years ago is everyone's a liberal until it comes to their own property and to their own self. And then everyone suddenly becomes very conservative. And you did see that, you know, residents in Chicago are standing up saying, hey, we're losing benefits. We're losing opportunities for our own community to these illegal people. Like, this isn't okay. This is not acceptable at all. So I think when the issue finally hits home, all of the communities will wake up. And I think what we're trying to do at BorderHawk is just make people aware that this is already affecting them.
Besides BorderHawk.News, what you have some other border reporters that you admire. Can you tell us a little bit of some of the names, let's say, so we can look them up?
Sure. There's about a handful out there that are really on the ground doing great work. Obviously, Bill Malugin deserves a ton of credit at Fox News. He's been doing it for many years. He has the widest reach, and he certainly does a really nice job of being very fair, I think, and even. But, you know, on the Mexican side, there are two in the Texas area. Auden Cabello, who's been featured on Fox numerous times. Efrain Gonzalez, which is also in Mexico. His video has also been seen by even Elon Musk. Very, very amazing folks down there. But there's other good reporters out there as well. But there really aren't many. There are very, very few of us that are willing to go down there, put your boots in the sand, and kind of show the world what is really happening.
Yeah, it's a very gritty arena, very gritty. You know, not only is there dangers, there's lots of reptiles and shadiness all around.
and to that point, excuse me, these border towns, they have a vibe, they have a feeling, and a lot of it is kind of sad and difficult, and they're depressed in some ways. You know, they're so hard hit by this issue that you can almost sense it. So in addition to all the other issues, you know, the vibes in the areas are difficult.
Yes, it definitely has a dystopian quality. And for those of us who live in nice, like, sunny towns in Michigan or suburbs, it's very shocking and alarming to see up close and personal, you know, what these situations bring. And it is very tragic.
It is very tragic. However, I'm not sure I would describe Petoskey, Northern Michigan, as a sunny town, but.
Oh, you know what I meant. Coming soon.
Let's hope so.
Right. I got you. You got that. So how can we reach you? How can we follow what you're doing?
So all of our work is going out through the website at BorderHawk.News. And then we're very active on X/Twitter. So BorderHawk News is the official account. And then my personal account will be WID_Lyman, also at Twitter and X. We don't use the other platforms quite as much. X seems to be where the most freedom is at this point. So certainly take a look at our work moving forwards. And again, we have a lot of reports coming out this week.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much for your time, and looking forward to seeing you in Arizona.
Thanks, Izzy. See you soon.